Welcome to the AFNI's Transformers podcast, where we take a deep dive into the dynamic landscape of Africa's energy and natural resources future. This podcast will explore not only the exciting developments in this field, but also the crucial intersection of energy transition and climate challenges within Africa's development trajectory.
Hello, and welcome back to AFNI's Transformers. For our followers, you might be hearing a new voice today, and that's because our usual host is taking the hot seat today, and he will be our guest. For now, you have me. I'm Desmond Anyanwu, and I'm the Head of Business Strategy and Analysis for CORE and AFNIS, and I'm joined today by my colleague and good friend, Suleiman Zachary. And Suleiman will be looking after the theme and agenda for AFNIS, and we'll be deep diving into AFNIS, what it is, and specifically AFNIS 2024. Suleiman is a partner of CORE International and has over a decade of experience in the extractive industry, having begun his career in the oil and gas sector before aptly transitioning into the mining sector and renewables. He's currently serving as the chair of the Interministerial Steering Committee for the Africa National Resources and Energy Investment Summit, AFNIS. Suley brings a wealth of knowledge and insights into the strategic development of Africa's natural resources. And this is, of course, having worked on numerous greenfield and brownfield projects. So without further ado, I'd love to welcome Suley to the AFNIS Transformers. And Suley, if you are happy to, can you tell us about how you feel about being a guest on the platform?
Hi, Des. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks. I don't know if you can tell from my voice. I have a bit of a bug. I think it's a spring bug, but, you know, hopefully we can push through and it can disappear. As for being a guest, it feels a bit strange, to be honest with you, as I'm usually the one asking all the questions. Now I'll have to be. But, you know, ask me at the end of this and I'll tell you how I feel.
Okay. So we're going to jump straight into it. Let's talk about the Africa Natural Resources and Energy Investment Summit. How did AFNIS begin? Could you share the origins, the goals, and how it's evolved over the years? What's your perspective on how it's been so far?
Okay. I mean, I might be a bit biased, but I feel like we're about to enter the third edition or about to host the third edition this July. And, you know, it started in 2022 was first edition. So it has been developed over a number of years through the work that we do with clients, our investment events in the UK, but especially working with the Federal Ministry of Solid Minerals Development, which when we started working with them back in 2017, I believe they were called the Ministry of Mines and Steel Development. So what we did for them was to promote the Nigerian mining sector internationally via our iMine platform. So you could say AFNIS, as it were, was the end game of the work that we've been doing with the ministry. To go a bit deeper, the strategy to develop AFNIS is based on in order to accelerate the development of the mining sector in Nigeria, and we need to actually stop looking at it as the mining sector in isolation, but to focus on developing a network where we can bring in knowledge or key lessons learned from other industries, but to also bring capital from outside industry to the mining sector. By this, I mean we need to bring in the energy industry, oil and gas people, power people, renewables people, and finance under one roof to form synergies for, you know, cross-sectoral development of all sectors. So not just the mining sector, but, you know, there could be lessons that we can take from the mining sector and replicate it in the renewable space, for example. So again, the major mission aim of AFNIS is to bring all these key players together, the bright minds that we have under one roof to find collective solutions for our challenges, which is the sustainable development of our natural resources. Actually, to go back, AFNIS was originally called the Nigeria-Africa Summit, but we had a name change for 2023 on the feedback that we got from other African countries that participated in the 2022 edition, saying that they liked the platform and they wouldn't mind hosting the platform and for future editions. So, well, basically, that's AFNIS in a nutshell.
That's actually fascinating, and it's interesting. I mean, we look at AFNIS internally, and we have our views on it. But having you discuss it as a guest from the inside looking out, or vice versa, is actually quite fascinating. And speaking of key players, Core International plays a crucial role. Now, can you shed light on why Core exists, what its missions are, and how it has come to be a trusted partner in the energy and mining industry? And like I said, or as you mentioned, we spoke about the siloed mentality of these different industries working within Africa itself, and a Core, or at least AFNIS, bringing them all together. So taking a step out, can you talk a bit more about how Core has evolved and what its goals and origins are?
Okay, thanks for that. So we set up Core, myself and a couple of my colleagues, for example, Dr. Lowell. So we set up Core to assist African sponsors to develop African natural mining projects, basically, in Nigeria. And then we then expanded to West Africa and then to Central Africa. So we plug a gap where it's needed by African sponsors.
That is quite fascinating. And speaking of key players, Core International plays a crucial role in all of this. So could you shed some light on why Core exists, what its mission is, and how it's become a trusted partner in the energy and mining industry across Africa?
Okay, thanks for that. Well, Core exists on a single mandate, I would say, when we first established, which is to help the development of mining projects in Africa by African sponsors or African owners. But we have since expanded to energy and renewable space. So we have several services that we provide, which includes project advisory, project preparation, policy and strategy development. We help our clients with license acquisitions, review of regulations, and market analysis. Now, that's just one arm of the consultancy arm of the business. On the other side of the business, we do events, investment shows, such as the Arab African Mining that we did in London, Sahel Mining. We do a bit of webinars, industry update webinars. And finally, we developed the iMine platform, where it's going to be a digital platform where sponsors can upload all their information and data and what you have for investors to access globally and to facilitate the investment into the projects in Africa.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Now, looking ahead to AFNIS 2024, the theme is natural resources for economic development. What inspired this theme, and how does it align with the broader goals of the summit? And also, if you take a step further out, what does that also look like in the broader goals of the global economy, at least on the global stage of energy and energy usage?
Okay, I mean, we could actually look at the theme. So natural resources for economic development can be, you know, broken down into two major aspects. So on the one side is, you know, besides our rich culture, incredible human capital, what does Africa has in abundance? Well, it has natural resources in the ground that it's used, critical minerals, battery minerals, gold, diamonds, etc. We have fertile soil for agri produce. West Africa is sort of the largest supplier of cocoa in the world, I believe. And then we also have, you know, a very predictable, easy temperate climate when we can predict, you know, solar irradiation over a year. So we have that going for us. Now, on the second aspect is, you know, for climate action, socioeconomic development, all those requires huge amount of money, huge amount of investment. So climate action is actually quite an important topic when it comes to AFNIS because, you know, we know it's a fact. We suffer incredibly more than OECD countries when it comes to the impacts of climate change. Now, if we suffer the most from these, from the impacts, so why shouldn't we take the lead and also invest in our own climate initiatives, basically, to mitigate these challenges? You know, if you're Nigerian, so there's this saying that you cannot take Panadol for someone's headache. So it goes, you know, we have the problem. We have the potential solutions, if developed properly, to invest in mitigating effects. So that's why the theme is natural resource for economic development. We just need to find a way. It's nothing new, mind you. You know, we've been saying this for the past 30, 50, 60 years since natural resources have been discovered in Africa, but we haven't implemented it correctly. So the theme this year is to, you know, look at successful case studies, how countries like Norway, which started as a solely oil and gas economy, turned away from oil and gas to be, you know, an OECD country. So we need to look at those lessons and we need to start implementing these lessons right now, because lest we forget, you know, natural resources are a finite solution, especially in the mining sector and oil and gas sector. These natural resources, if we continue to exploit them without investing them adequately in the development of the crucial infrastructure, there will come a time where we don't actually have these natural resources that we bank on for that, for our economy. So, you know, that is why we decided this year the theme should be natural resources for economic development.
It's quite interesting that this is the topic that has been picked. Following on from your note on Norway, and how it has sort of transitioned from, you know, oil and gas exporting economy and moving into using the revenue from that to fund other projects in their national interest. We can also look at Aramco and the fact that it had recorded, I think, record revenues in the last year. But it's interesting with Aramco because I believe that I think between 30 and 40% of its revenues are reinvested back into its own, Saudi Arabia's own development of other industries. And that is another example, another case study as to how revenue generated from natural resources can go into funding and developing other emerging markets or emerging parts of economies.
With Aramco or Saudi Arabia. So what they do, or what they have this oil sustainability report that they're trying to implement, where they're trying to move away from only being an oil and gas company to an energy company, whereby the revenues that they're generating right now, record revenues, they're implementing it into the renewable energy space heavily. So they have a specialist unit that looks at wind energy, that looks at investing actually in critical minerals that, you know, that go into battery for EVs and for energy storage. So they're trying to shift. They understand. Listen, don't get me wrong. You know, oil and gas is here to stay. As long as we can drill it, we can exploit it, it will be here to be used. We can't simply just turn up the tap and just go renewable energy. That's not sustainable. That's not possible. But what they're doing is that, okay, what, let's say the world reduces its oil demand by, let's say, 10%, 15%, they would be there to supply the world with renewable energy products, whether it's manufacturing of batteries or manufacturing of wind turbines or solar panels. So that's one of the things that we need to actually start looking at in Africa, moving away from just supplying raw materials. I was actually reading this article couple of weeks ago, a week ago, by Benchmark, where the main title is Africa to supply Europe critical minerals resources. So again, that's still the narrative. We need to supply raw materials. We need to supply raw materials. We're not at the stage where, you know, the headline is saying Africa to develop its own mineral resources to supply EVs locally for local consumption. Yeah. So that's one of the things that we're trying to achieve with AFNIS, to change that mindset where, you know, it's nothing wrong in exporting our natural resources, but we still have to start developing a plan where we can put systems in place to not just exploit it for export, but exploit it, process it, manufacture it for local consumption.
Where the value add is maintained within Africa itself, yes, as opposed to the value add being exported.
Correct.
Okay, that's fantastic. We've been to, over the number of years, we've been to a myriad of conferences, across a myriad of industries, hosted by a myriad of subject matter experts. It's sometimes hard to grasp what the tangible results of these conferences are. So with that being said, what makes AFNIS different, and why should we take interest in the AFNIS platform itself?
Thank you. So, like you correctly said, we've been to a number of conferences. We've hosted a number of conferences. So what we try to do with AFNIS is, you know, conferences are nothing new, but the content of the conference is where we try to find our USP. So the content of our conference is where we bring these different sectors together to collaborate, to invest in cross-sectoral development. And, you know, again, a lesson can be learned from some of the work we did in Central Africa. So in Central Africa, when there's a power project, like let's say they want, they're putting up a tender for someone to come and build 100 megawatts of hydroelectric power plant or, you know, solar farm, something like that. So what they tend to do is they package it rather than say, there's a village here or there's a city here that can take X amount of power. No. Usually what they do is, we have provided a mining license to this iron ore facility or iron ore mine that would be 20 kilometers away from this power station. So already they're creating a market and a business case for someone to come and invest in that hydroelectric power plant by supplying the mining site with its electricity and also other industry in and around that area. So we're just doing this, but at a conference level, where we can bring the power guys to meet with the RE guys or to meet with the mining guys to see how we can, you know, form partnerships, collaborate, and push, you know, push the development further of our people. As a side note, last year, one of the amazing things that happened is we had the president of the Renewable Energy Association of Nigeria sit down with a few of our lithium producers or lithium miners and had collaborative meetings where they were saying, you know what, if they can gather all the renewable energy players in Nigeria, they could find a way to create some sort of, you know, pool of funds or pool of investment that can help, you know, miners of lithium go in, explore more, create the feedstock required for someone from China or someone from even Nigeria to come up and set up a processing plant and start manufacturing these batteries locally, rather than importing the batteries that they implement for solar home systems or industrial use from Germany or from China or where have you. So that's one of the unique things that we are trying to implement in AFNIS. So it's not just a mining event, it's not just an oil and gas event, it's not just a power event, but it's an ecosystem where all these different sectors can actually benefit from one another.
Almost like cross-pollination, so to speak, of ideas and of industry. With AFNIS 2024, it emphasizes deal-making as a cornerstone. How does the deal-making platform align with at the summit's goals on economic development, energy transition, and sustainable growth and climate action?
Yeah, so the deal-making platform is something that's new for this year, for the 2022 edition. So it's the natural transition, I would say, no pun intended, of what Athens is. So in 2022 and 2023, we focused on the content, the agenda, the ideology, and hearing from incredible speakers, bright minds, people who are doing some incredible, tremendous stuff on our continent. And we also heard from government speakers or what their plans are on the policy aspects. So this year, we wanted to do this year and, you know, for 2025, 2026 onwards, we want to see some actual positive impact between our sponsors and partners and all those people that have been with us for AFNIS. So the deal-making platform is just, you know, if you have an exciting project and you're a sponsor, you're supporting the AFNIS platform, you can upload your project, your information, your IMs to be reviewed by selected investors. And hopefully we can have some deals being signed at the main stage on in AFNIS 24. So that's the whole point of the deal-making platform that we're opening up for 2024 and onwards.
That is an amazing USP, if I was to say so myself. So, Sully, from your experience working with and interacting with numerous African countries, how do you see the continent evolving its approach to sustainable development? Because, yes, we are seen as the cornerstone of energy supply in the years to come, at least whether it's through the minerals, the raw materials that we provide. But how do we sort of marry up the expectation of our role within a global economy with our sustainable development of these different industries, emerging or growing industries over the coming years? What are your views on that?
Okay, I mean, I can let's break down that question in two aspects. So let me start with the first part of the question. So basically, from those that I've worked closely with, like from the private sector, from the government sector, in and around Africa, in Nigeria as well, there's actually an understanding or a drive that we need to develop our natural resources in a sustainable manner, as these resources are finite, as I said earlier. They're going to finish. That's the whole point of, that's the whole thing about natural resources, except agric, but for mining and oil and gas sectors, they're finite. So, you know, with that understanding, they realize that we need more value addition locally. We need to start adding value to our resources locally. And some countries have taken, you know, some controversial steps in doing that. Uganda implemented a ban on tin, the export of raw tin concentrates. They've stopped that. Excuse me. Same with Zimbabwe. They implemented a ban on lithium and chrome, I believe. Ghana is thinking of doing the same thing for lithium. So why are they doing this? They're doing this because, you know, why do we just, you know, rough figures? Why would we export something, let's say, for $20 per ton or $20 and then buy it at $60, $80, $100? So you see, we already have a deficit of $80. How do we plug that deficit? We borrow. And the more you borrow, the more the debt increases and the more you start seeing lack of investment in other critical aspects of society. So that is one way that I see things improving, basically. That, you know, our leaders are starting to understand that it can no longer be business as usual. It can no longer be, let's keep exporting the raw materials that we have. We need to start actually putting policies in place that could provide businesses with, you know, a market for them to invest in.
Okay. I understand that Completely. Yeah. Okay. So before we wrap up, are there any closing thoughts or any key takeaways you would like to share with our listeners on how they can engage with AFNIS or learn more about the topics that we've covered today?
Yeah, sure. So they could just visit our website, www.afnissummit.com, for the latest agenda, for the latest brochure, because we update this every week, every 2 weeks. You know, as events, they're very fluid. We add more stuff that we feel is relevant. We're adding more sponsors, more partners, more speakers every week. So I suggest that they keep AFNIS sites on their browser and keep checking it regularly. But besides that, they can, you know what, I'm always accessible. They can feel free to reach out to our website, www.c-im.com, or they can, you know, send me an email at s.zachary@c-mmm.com if they want to get involved with AFNIS or they have suggestions. We're open to hearing, you know, ideas from people on how to make it a better platform for them.
Fantastic. All right. Well, Sule, thank you so much for coming on our show. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the latest edition of AFNIS Transformers. Join us next week where we have a lot more interesting topics to come up. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of AFNIS Transformers. We hope you enjoyed it. You can visit our website at partners.afnissummit.com/transformers to learn more and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from. We'll see you again soon. Take care.